The theater. The theater.
Bring out Louis.
Theater. Theater.
To be or not to be.
Theater. Theater.
What up? What up? What up?
What
the fuck is up, y'all?
How y'all be? We made it. What?
How y'all be?
I'm good. I was in a funk this week. I was in a post-Thanksgiving funk.
Okay.
And I'm sure it was just because of the indulgence and the sugar and the booze and all of that. But man, it was hard getting started this week for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
I've got a really good smelling wreath hanging on my front door now.
Get your wreath.
One today.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
It always makes my hallway smell good. The apartment, my hallway.
Yeah. I love a
my
wreath.
Apartment hallway. Yeah.
Yeah. Wreath or madness.
Yeah. I need to. wreath or madness. But yeah. Otherwise, how you? How you, Bales?
Been good. I went to the zoo today with my daughter, and you know, just have good times. It's good times.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been seeing a lot of good movies. I've seen so much good shit. I've seen, I think my list on Letterboxd, my 2023 list so far is 72 movies right
now. Damn.
Nice, babe.
Yeah. I'm going hardcore. I've been watching a lot of foreign stuff this past couple weeks. I highly recommend everybody check out this movie. I can't stop thinking about it. It's called Full Time or Atiem Tom or something like that. It's Full Time. But it's a French film about, it's like a heart pounding thriller about watching a woman try to get between her two jobs and her children. But it is like, and she's a single mother, and it's like it heart pounding. The whole movie, you're just sitting there with like sweaty palms, just being like, will she make it on time? Will she get fired? You know, like, it's phenomenal. I highly recommend to everybody, but also, another highlight recently was Saltburn. I really like Saltburn, and I need to talk about it with somebody. I don't know anybody else.
I might try and check it out on Friday.
I just got to talk about it. There's a lot to talk about. You see a lot of good Barry Keoghan Peen. So.
Ooh, I love him.
So we love that.
Barry Keoghan Peen.
We love the Peen.
Yeah.
I like
Release
Peen
the Junk Cut.
Release the junk cut of Infinity Pool. I am still on this.
The junk cut.
That movie. Rules. Well, there's a junk cut of Infinity Pool, and there's a junk cut of Wakanda Forever. Okay,
yeah.
So Wakanda Forever has the junk cut, which is where Namor has a legitimate package that they don't CGI out, right?
Yeah.
And then there's Infinity Pool, where when it screened at TIFF and Cannes, they showed the hog. They went full Skarsgård hog.
Full hog.
And they hog heaven, and they. cut it for theaters.
Oh.
And I went to the movie thinking I was getting full hog, and I just didn't get it. I got like half peen, and that's not.
It's not full hog.
It's not whole hog. Welcome to Theater, the theater podcast for theaters. It's our final episode of the season. Well, we have bonus episodes of this, but this is the curtain call, y'all.
It's the curtain call, y'all.
Yes.
Four seasons in a movie.
Yeah.
Welcome to Theater, the theater podcast for theater nerds made by three theater makers from the LA theater scene. I'm J. Bailey Burcham.
I'm C.J. Merriman.
I'm Scott Leggett.
Yeah.
And each week, we get together, we discuss, we debate. And what do we discuss and debate? The definition of theater.
Definition.
T-H-E-A-T-R-E. Through various lenses. Now...
Yes.
This week is a curtain call. We have a few matters of business to get through today. Okay,
yeah.
We do this at the end of every season, but this is a big one because we're ranking this season's playwrights, which there's only four.
Five.
You're right. There's only five.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also, well, if you count Roddy, there were six.
What?
No. But we're not ranking Roddy. But I'm just saying, like, we did cover six.
Oh, I did rank Roddy.
Oh, okay, great, good. There's only five with Roddy.
Yes.
Okay, my math is fucked. It's fine.
It's okay.
Shake
it off. It's the holidays.
Oh, you're right. I feel better. Can we play a quick round of Zip Zap Zop? I just need to like...
Zap.
Yeah. Whenever
zap.
The kids at
I'm just
Shakespeare
the zap
Youth
guy.
Fest aren't actually paying it, like, you know, in the zone, we'll be like, cool, let's stop. Let's do a game. Let's do something, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we should play Big Booty. You guys play Big Booty?
I like Big Booty. Yes. I love weirdly that played that at Jesus Performing Arts Camp.
Aw.
R. Yeah.
R. They let you say booty?
Yeah. And then also we played like highly competitive Simon Says, which is fun if you get a good caller and a room full of a ton of people.
Yeah, I'm really good at Simon Says being
the caller. Let's play some fucking Simon Says sometime.
Okay.
Let's get drunk with a bunch of people.
Simon Says... make a sound that sounds a little bit like a butthole. Okay, now make a sound that sounds a little bit like a mouth. Scott, you're out because Simon didn't say.
I won!
All right, so, of course, they also should sound the same because mouths and butts are...
same thing. So you doubly lost.
I'm doubly correct.
You're right. Your mouth did make both noises. Uh-huh. Well done. We have some matters of business. We have to rank our playwrights of this year. We have to rank all of the movies that we watched this year because we watched a lot of movies. Now, we're not ranking The Lives because we did that already. So we're not going to, so go listen to that episode. It was in our, which episode was it that we actually finally ranked them?
Must have been when we watched Jesus Christ Superstar because that was the last one, correct?
Right. It was JC. You're right. Go listen to the JCS Live episode. Now, we did the movie a long time ago. It's not that one. It's The Live.
Which is a perfect movie.
Yeah, great film.
it's good.
With one bad casting in it. But besides that, it's all good.
pushing buttons. You are poking the bear.
Bears are going to get poked today. We should all do it.
And then we have to also rank what we've decided, which, no offense, CJ did misunderstood, and that's okay. It's fine. She still did the bulk of it. But we're going to attempt to rank all 36 of the playwrights that we've covered over four seasons.
All 4 seasons, yeah. Yeah. It's it took me over 2 hours. I had to smoke a cigarette at one point because I was mad at myself.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And we'll talk about like what our criteria was. But I noticed my list is completely different than any list I've ever given on this podcast. So I think it's just, I don't know. The times they are a-changing.
The times they are a-changing.
And the brains they are a-changing. Our brains are changing. The minds they are a-changing.
Yeah, that's it.
I love you guys.
Love you,
four
too.
Seasons in a movie. This has been fun. Okay. Do we want to get into it?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Because to honor this season, season four, let's rank the four, well, the five playwrights that we covered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Scott, I want you to go first. Wait.
We're rounding this, right? Yes, we are rounding this.
But there's something we need to do first that's very important.
We're going to do it at least 3 times.
At least.
Bailey loves ranking shit.
That's right. Bailey loves ranking shit.
I love it so much. That's why this is my favorite episode of the season. Not for real, but kind of. Okay. Scott, number five. Who is your number five playwright of the season?
Number five is Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Siege?
Primarily because it was an anti-arc. We talk about the evolution of playwrights, and I think that we, after seeing multiple versions and talk of JC Superstar, and talking through his stuff, that was his pinnacle,
his peak. Yeah.
He didn't get better. There was nothing better than that.
Right.
And so it's kind of, he was anti, he went the wrong direction.
You're correct about that idea, that concept. Siege?
Five is Andrew Lloyd Webber for me as well. I'm very sentimental about that shit because it was fed to me constantly growing up. But like the older I get, damn, is that stuff fucking cheesy and poorly taken in by most of its audience members?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is just because it just isn't something I love reading. That's all. It's Euripides for me. Number five. It's just not my thing. It's not my thing. I love the Greeks. I appreciate everything about where we come from as theater artists. I'm with it. Don't shoot me.
I'm not.
Well, the listeners might be. I don't know. But this is just a personal, and I think all three of these lists for me, I went purely personal. Just sure. Right now, who is Bailey today making this list? What is he feeling? And my least favorite to cover this season was Euripides. That's it.
Fair enough.
That simple. Plus, Jesus Christ Superstar is good enough to me to make him live in a higher realm. That's all. Okay.
Fair enough.
Number four, everybody. Number four. Scott?
Is Roddy Viegas.
Roddy, yeah. You beat Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Andrew
Euripides on my list, so yeah.
And almost for the exact opposite reason that I put Andrew Lloyd Webber in his position. Everything that we read from Roddy was growth. I'm looking forward to what he does next.
Yeah.
And everything's been sort of a step up. And yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Siege?
Yeah, I want to be clear that there's a chasm between four and five because I put Roddy at four as well. And just right. For the simple fact that Roddy's amazing and has so much more time to get even more amazing. So,
correct.
Here for it.
Same with me. Number four, Roddy. You're incredible. We're so proud to have you as a new friend and family member of the pod. And we just can't wait to see what you do. Because that's really what it is it's... How do you judge someone who, you know, is probably not even at their peak yet, right?
Oh, no.
So it's like,
no way.
We'll get there, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so Roddy, we love you. It's me. It's my turn. Oh, no, I did that already.
Yeah.
Scott, three.
Number three is Euripides Nuts.
Euripides Nuts.
Yeah. Listen, he's endured for a long fucking time, you know? I think that the only... tricky part is, are we really evaluating Euripides, you know, in terms of text and dialogue and all that? You're assessing him in a very different way. But one of my big criteria is endurance and influence. So you can't
agreed.
Can't deny.
Siege?
I put Euripides for three as well. Wow. I enjoyed that series so much more than I thought I was going to. Mm. And Euripides wrote about women and anti-war and here for it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And to be clear, I liked Euripides. I really did.
You
I just
don't have to explain
I just
anything,
had
Paige.
So I do. That's what this episode's all about. But I do think just as enjoyment of reading, it was harder for me. But number three for me is A.L. Dubs,
mm-hmm.
Drew Lo Dubs.
Mm-hmm.
It's Andrew Lloyd Webber. It's you can't deny the staying power of some of his work, especially JCS.
Yeah.
And I understand a lot of people's love for things like Evita.
Sure.
But it's not for me. Evita is like lowest on my list of the A.L. Dubs. But I agree, Scott. You're right. It's an anti-arc, which is so interesting. But there are enough works there that I do appreciate that I kind of had to put
Yeah,
in
and to be clear, like, he you know, I think the other thing that was kind of a chip on my shoulder was, you know, that he's a billionaire, you know, lord or duke or whatever the fuck he is. And, you know, and a conservative on top of everything else.
Sure.
And I'm like, fuck you, bro. All right. But you can't.
Totally
you're right. You
it.
Can't deny it. Can't deny
you can't,
it.
You can't deny some of that stuff. Before we say our last two, I do want to clarify something. Are we considering in these lists screenplays?
I think that's up to us individually. There
okay.
are.
Because my one and two switch if you do or don't.
Well, I know which direction you're going, and it's incorrect. So,
okay. Go ahead, Scott. What is your number two?
My number two is Brandon Jacob Jenkins.
Yeah.
I think that he is electrifying in terms of, again, much like Roddy, whatever he's doing next, I'm mm-hmm. going to be in line for.
Agreed.
Octoroon alone is just marvelous. And what especially is so cool about what he's doing is riffing on the past. We've talked about the Brechtian elements in Octoroon and the sort of shock elements in some of his other shows. And yeah, I'm really excited about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Sage?
Two for me was Martin McDonagh. I was shocked by that series. I thought I was going to be bored out of my fucking mind. And then I wasn't. And I really enjoyed his stuff. So,
yeah,
he was a sleeper surprise for me.
For sure. My number two is BJJ, Jingleheimer Schmidt, because I'm the same way, Scott. He hasn't done what I think he'll do yet. But you can't deny the power of what he's done,
right?
At the same time, and no. I think specifically Everybody right. really stuck for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I, what was the third one we read? Not Octoroon, but the third one,
Gloria.
Gloria. Also, I really
Oof.
Loved.
Oof.
And so those have stuck with me. Martin McDonagh, because well, I'll get to there. Okay, Scott, go ahead.
Number one is Martin McDonagh. It just, all of those plays just blew me away. I just connected with them. I got what was going on. He's maybe got like one or two more works more than BJJ,
yeah.
which is why he got there for me. I'm not mad with any of either of those places for those
sure.
two. Yeah.
Siege?
My number one is Brandon Jacobs Jenkins. The range, the way that he surprised the fuck out of me with Gloria, and the fact that he is as young as he is and as prolific as he is already. Yeah. And I just like him because he writes for everybody. And I love his stuff. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic. And, you know, Martin McDonagh, to me, wins because of his screenplay writing. Those movies, I think, I'm madly in love with every one of his screenplays. I just mm-hmm. am. I think they're all phenomenal. And that, but if we're talking purely playwright, they almost tie for me. I don't know if they fully switch,
mm-hmm.
but only because I know where BJJ is headed, and I think he will sort of overcome Martin McDonagh in terms of pushing the boundaries of theater, whereas Martin McDonagh has a sort of lane he has always stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
Although Pillow Man thematically is pushing boundaries and things like this, I think BJJ is theatrically pushing the different kind of boundaries
yeah,
that
I agree.
We're not really talking about in other circles. So that's where it's tough for me. But yes, Martin McDonagh for me just lives at number one. I also have a full relationship with him as a young reader of scripts and things, yeah. you know, so... Love him to death. Okay. We watched a lot of movies this year.
We did.
We watched 14, 15 movies?
14.
14 movies this year. And we're going to rank them. Because... Why?
Because...
Bailey loves ranking shit.
That's true. I love ranking shit. So we're doing it again.
Yeah.
Henry Kissinger died. He was 100 years old.
Fuck that guy.
He's 10,000 years old.
Speaking of swimming to Cambodia.
Right.
Okay. Let's just do them, right? Or do you want to go one by one again?
I think we should just do this list. Okay.
Yeah,
and then we can talk about it. But I don't want to go first this time.
CJ?
I'll go first.
Okay, I'll go first with playwrights.
If y'all want me to describe why I put something in a specific spot, please do. The thing that I noticed this year with movies was the recurring theme of some things not being as good as I remembered.
Sure, sure.
But then also some massive enjoyment of new stuff.
I also want to mention we are also including Pin 15, the two episodes that we covered mm-hmm. as one entity, mm-hmm. as if they're like a film, mm-hmm. Just so listeners know. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so 14, White Christmas, 13, Dionysus in 69. That production will always stick with me, but I put it there because of how fucking problematic it is.
Yeah.
12, Oliver, 11, The Little Mermaid, 10, Moulin Rouge, 9, Labyrinth. Fun first time watch for me.
Mm. Oh, right. I forgot you hadn't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
8, Elephant Man, my first Lynch movie.
Oh, yeah.
7, Swimming to Cambodia, which surprised me that I enjoyed it as much as I did.
So good.
6, Wizard of Oz. How can you deny?
Yes.
5, Topsy Turvy. I love that fucking movie so much, and I found myself talking about it to a lot of people too.
Oh, cool.
4, Pen 15. 3, Rocket Man, a movie that I will always, always love. And then 2 is American Utopia, and 1 is Stop Making Sense. This year has made me a solid David Byrne and Talking Heads fan. And I
could have sworn Rocket Man was going to be your number one.
It's just because of how much those two top movies have affected me this year, and how many people I've forced to sit down and watch them.
Wow.
I did that with Rocket Man before too, but I just Stop Making Sense and American Utopia have been a big part of my 2023, so I had to put them at the top.
Okay. Very interesting. I'm glad you had Labyrinth and Elephant Man not so low. Like, I mean, they're all low because it's a low number ranking, but like you had them for first time watches. That's pretty cool that you enjoyed them as much as you did.
Yeah,
because those are tough watches for people who don't have nostalgia for Labyrinth. I think that's a hard movie to
watch. I have a lot of nostalgia for Henson though.
True,
pulled me in big time. Yeah, so
I'll go ahead.
Yeah.
So I did include, because I watched the Little Mermaid live action that came out for our Mankin series. I did.
That would have been higher up for me than where it was in my list. You're talking about the one they did in what, 2021 or whatever, 2023?
Yeah, the one that just came out. With
that would have been higher up. I think that's more successful than the animated one, personally. But,
oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, for a lot of different reasons.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here we go. This is my list. So it's 15 because I added that one.
Sure.
So it'll be a little different number-wise. Number 15, Dionysus and 69. Not for me. I get it, just not for me.
Yeah.
Number 14, White Christmas. Why is it got to be so white?
I picked the stinkers this year.
Well, hey, I get it, though. Again, I get it. Like, nostalgically, I understand. It's just it's not my thing. I posted on my Instagram story today, White Christmas is bad.
Uh-huh.
And got like 7 angry messages. And I was like, cool. And I just took it down right away because I was like, whoa, I don't even want to deal with that.
I was out in public yesterday and had brought it up in conversation. And somebody jumped in and was like, I think it's a perfect film. And I was like,
really?
Awesome. And I backed off.
Yeah.
I backed off a little bit.
You're like, is your favorite song Mandy? Because, okay. Number 13 is my Little Mermaid live action.
Okay.
Live action. Now, I love all these movies. This is what's crazy. Now, from now on, I love everything I say. So, it being ranked low doesn't mean I don't like it. I just don't like it as much as these
I've got one that's like, I'm looking at right now going, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Number 12 is American Utopia.
Okay.
It's great. I like it. It's a concert film. I don't love concert films. Like, I do, in theory, but like, number 11, Topsy Turvy. Now, I had seen it before. I like it. I do like this movie a lot. Again, just these other things just have to rank higher for me. Number 10, Stop Making Sense.
Interesting.
I get it. It's Demi. It's very theatrical. I think y'all like the Talking Heads a lot more than I do. I've never really liked them. I think I like 3 of their songs. I like the Demi of it all, and I like the theatricality of it all, and I think that's what I like about those movies. I could care less about the Talking Heads. But that's just me. Number 9, Pen 15.
Wow.
A surprise. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Number 8, The Animated Little Mermaid. Just because it's a classic. It's a nostalgia piece for me. Number 7, Swimming to Cambodia.
Oh, we matched on that one.
So good. Number 6, again, nostalgia, Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that movie. Number 5, Moulin Rouge. Number 4, Oliver! Exclamation point. Number 3, Elephant Man. Number 2, The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1, my favorite movie we watched this year was Rocket Man.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It's so good. It's so fucking good.
Yeah. It's so fucking good. Anyway, some hot takes in there, but you know, we're doing our thing. Okay, Scott?
Okay. I think I screwed up. Oh, I know what I did. I totally know what I did. Okay. Okay. Number 14, White Christmas.
Yeah.
Number 13, The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't for my generation. 12, and I feel bad about this because, again, just like you, Bailey, I love this.
Yeah.
I love this movie. It was my pick.
Yeah.
It's Oliver.
Ugh. We match.
And I think that it's because
I love Oliver.
I love it.
I had so
I think
much fun
that I have a weird chip on my shoulder that it beat 2001 at the Oscars.
I get you. I hear
but
that.
I'm never yeah. going to knock it. Hey. Never going to knock it.
It's like all how right. I feel about Music Man beating West Side Story. I'll never respect Music Man because of that beating right. it at the Tonys. But I'm like, but at the same time, like, I get it. Music Man's great. But like, West Side Story. Anyway. Right. Okay.
Number 11, Dionysus in 69.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just was so intrigued by it. What it did well in our conversation of what is theater is I do feel like, despite the weird late 60s camera work, that it did capture the energy of a live theater production. Some of the fucked up stuff that happens in it and all that, you know, but I felt like, oh, I'm watching something that's alive.
It did make me go watch a bunch of De Palma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Number 10, Labyrinth.
Labyrinth.
Number 9, American Utopia.
Yeah.
Number 8, Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge.
Number 7, Swimming to Cambodia.
Yay, we all matched on that.
We all did number 7. I mean, it's
great.
So
it's fucking good.
Yeah.
Number 6 is Pen 15. Man, that show just got me. Yeah. And
so
those
good.
Two episodes in particular so really fun. Hit close to home.
They did. Cool. Yeah,
but
it rules.
Just,
rules.
I said it when we talked about it. It was a show that shouldn't have worked. It should not have worked. And those two women are so fucking awesome.
So
that it just they
love
hit
you
it.
Anna and Maya.
Yeah.
Have you heard Donald Glover and Maya are playing are opposites in a
oh they're Mr. and Mrs. Smith, right?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith
oh,
remake.
Oh cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be kind of rad.
Oh cool.
It's gonna be great. Yeah, anyway.
Okay. Number 5, Topsy Turvy.
We match.
Dig me some Topsy Turvy.
Yeah.
Number 4, Rocket Man.
Yeah.
Man, that movie just every time I watch it, I'm in it 100%. Number 3, oof, and this was tough. 3 and
this
2 were really, really tough.
Yeah.
It's Wizard of Oz.
Okay. I thought that was going to be your number 1. I got to be honest.
Yeah, it's legend without question.
Yeah.
Number 2 is Elephant Man. And I think it's just because
those performances
yeah. and the time that I discovered that film or rediscovered that film and was just
since
like
watching it, I've also gone back and YouTubed the moment you talked about, the Anthony Hopkins acting moment.
Yeah.
Where he just very quickly tells him, no, I'll never
no,
hear
I
you.
Can't,
or,
no, I can't
yeah.
help you. No, I can't.
I've watched it on YouTube like 400 times just because
yeah.
it's like one of those things.
It's just a perfect acting choice.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, number 2 is Elephant Man, and number 1 is Stop Making Sense. I really loved rediscovering it. And listen, absolutely, Bailey, if you're not into Talking Heads,
I just
then that's it. But
I love the Demi of it all. I really, really do.
I love the combination of it all for
sure.
me. You know,
sure.
and.
I love
you know,
all the shit, the behind the scenes. You find out what Byrne was reading, Empty Space, and it's at the Pantages, and like
yeah,
I just
sure.
every time I make someone listen to it or watch it, I'm like, let me tell you all this shit
let
I learned
me,
about
let,
this movie.
Yeah, it just and it was really fun to see CJ embrace it and Natalie and
yeah,
Jay, who
fun.
Were our guests.
That was
and,
that was a fun watch night too.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, that's my list.
And I think that's the way to watch it too. Like that's not true. I think every time I've ever watched it, it's been alone by myself, except when we watched it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do really, I think watching it as a crew made me like it even more,
mm-hmm.
which is great, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, fuck y'all. We got something kind of big to do.
Thank God you CJ... love it so much.
Bailey loves ranking shit.
Do you want to do your 5 and 12 or do you want me to start?
So I now, as we've been talking, I've got my bottom 5 bitches and then I've got my top 15.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here, let me start. And if you can fill in more while I do it, great. If not, no worries.
Okay.
But I'm going to start and then Scott, you can go next. Here we go.
Okay.
And I'm going to stop. I'm going to say number 11 and then stop. And then we can all do our top 10s. How about mm-hmm. that? Okay. Number 36. Sorry, honey. Marsha Norman. Circus Valentine. Right? That was Marsha Norman, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That was one of the worst plays we've read ever. I think she's season 3.
Yeah,
she was last season.
35. Sorry, bud. Again, it's just like I said, I'm doing this very personally. This is very personal to me, this list.
Oh.
Meaning like I'm not considering like, and he has lasted since ancient Greek. 35, Euripides. Yeah. 34, Oscar Wilde. Number 33, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Wow.
Number 32. Oh, wait. I doubled Oscar Wilde.
Oops.
Okay, so I'm missing somebody. Fuck. It's 36, right? 36 number?
Yeah, correct.
Fuck. I'm missing someone. I doubled on Oscar Wilde.
Oliver Wilde.
Okay. Well, I'll figure out who it is, but they're going to be my number 34 probably.
Okay.
Because then 33 is Lin-Manuel Miranda. 32 is Henrik Ibsen.
Okay.
Number 31 is Oscar
really?
Wilde. Yeah, okay. I'm not an Ibsen guy. I'm not an Ibsen guy.
You're,
32 is Ibsen. Peer Gant alone puts him all the
way. But it's good poopin' reading.
It's good poopin' reading. 31, Oscar Wilde. That's where Wilde will live.
Okay.
30, Sarah Ruhl. And I might switch those two, actually. I don't know. 29, Chris Durang.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I said 39. 29 is what I meant. 28, Yasmina Reza.
Interesting. Okay.
She's not for me. I know y'all really dig her. 27, Jonathan Larson.
Okay.
26, A.L. Dubs, Andrew mm-hmm. Lloyd himself. Okay. 25, and this is just because I saw Clyde's and hated it, Lynn Nottage, number 25. 24, because Intimate Apparel is still like one of my favorite fucking, doesn't matter. 24, Terrence McNally.
Mm-hmm.
23, sorry, Arthur Miller. 22, Edward Albee. 21, David Henry Hwang. Number 20. From here on, we're getting into, like, I mean, like, these are, like, playwrights I just love. And I love a lot of these that I've said below that, too. But these are just, like, my tops. 20, Tennessee Williams.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Number 19, Anton Chekhov.
Mm-hmm.
Number 18, Rogers and Hammerstein.
Mm.
Number 17, Tom Stoppard. Number 16, Paula Vogel. Number 15, Tracy Letts. Number 14, Annie Baker. Number 13, Lorraine Hansberry. Number 12, this one hurt to put so low, although it's high, Tony Kushner. And number 11 from this season, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins.
Oof.
That is my 36 to 11. Scott, I would like to hear yours.
So be it. And then I'll ask you both a question after CJ's done.
Okay.
So just very quickly, my big things are how I react to them.
Yeah.
Endurance and influence and how I'm challenged. Those are kind of the things that were mixing in my head.
Absolutely.
And then I've got biases that, you know, will become quickly apparent.
Okay.
Number 36, Marsha Norman.
Yeah. Sorry, Marsha.
Number 35, Jonathan Larson. Yeah. I just don't have enough to judge. And the big one I loathe. Christopher Durang is number 34.
Chrissy D.
Yeah, just a little light and fluffy.
Yeah.
But I like him.
Yeah.
33, Andrew Lloyd Webber, for the reasons that we've talked about previously.
Yep.
Number 32, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Which I just want to interject real quick. The next thing is the thing. Because what he's done since Hamilton has been garbage. All the Disney stuff and the stupid Star Wars song has been garbage.
Moana's pretty great.
Well, oh, that's true. Moana
But he's
is
not
great.
Writing all those songs.
He wrote the few that are the catchy ones. But I know what you mean. It's what he's gotten to a point where he wrote Hamilton for 12 years or whatever, and he's now being asked to write 500 things a year.
Right.
And so it's not coming out very well. Yeah.
So I need him to just quiet down and do his next thing.
Agreed.
Number 31, Terrence McNally.
That's who I'm missing. Nope, it's not who I'm missing. Keep going.
Number 30, Oscar Wilde.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number 29, Yasmina Reza.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a lot higher for you, Scott. Okay.
No, I like her a lot.
Yeah.
She's
right next to me. I have her at 28.
I think that she's just a little lighter than what it first appears, but it's good stuff.
Yeah.
28, Euripides.
Yeah.
27, Edward Albee.
Yeah.
26, Bertolt Brecht. Is that who you were missing?
That's who I'm missing. He's going to be number 34 for me.
Yeah. You and I put him that high. Do you know why I put him that high? Because of Brandon Jacobs Jenkins.
Yes.
Because the influence can't be denied. I just don't think it's on the page. And I think whatever theatrical theory, I think that his influence is because of his being a dramatic theorist as opposed to a playwright.
I think the time that he was alive needed what he was doing.
Correct.
And that rules. But yeah, he's number 34 out of 36 for me. Okay,
there
keep going.
Number 25, Rodgers and Hammerstein. I think they're starting to fade. And I found myself, when we were doing it, trying to defend stuff should let go, probably.
Yeah. Oklahoma. Cough.
King and I. Number 20. Right.
I have a take on Carousel.
I know. We should stop people from watching Carousel.
Irresponsibly, yes. Well, the movie specifically. Delete it.
Okay, sorry. Go, Scott. Sorry.
No. Number 24, and I think it was just because of the lack of overall body of work, Lorraine Hansberry. I could have easily put her higher and A Raisin in the Sun.
Simon Sidney and LeBlanc are so high on my list of plays we've ever read that I had to put her higher. That was the only thing.
Yeah,
I get you. I totally get you.
Number 23 is Arthur Miller. Number 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's same with me. Same number.
I know.
Okay.
Number 22, David Henry Hwang.
What? Okay, Scott.
I know.
He's my 21.
You're reading my mind here.
All right.
I know. We were clearly reacting the same way.
Yeah.
Number 21, and it's funny because Bailey and I bumped into each other last night, and this came up in conversation. Tennessee Williams.
Yeah, I had him at 20.
I think he's fading a little bit. We'll see. You know,
but
maybe.
You can't deny the piece. It's same with the ALW, where I'm like, there are certain pieces, and specifically how excited I got by Sweet Bird of Ute.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't prepared to enjoy and then loved. And then we watched the movie and I was like, oh, I love this. Like, it was just so fun. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. Number 20, Annie Baker. Yeah. Like me some Annie Baker.
I love Annie Baker.
19, this one went all over the place when I was trying to place it.
Okay.
Eugene Ionesco. And I, in, on another day, he would have been higher, without question.
I love him.
Love him. Sarah Rule is number 18.
Okay.
Sarah Rule made me think and ponder, and I just haven't forgotten her.
Yeah.
Number 17 is Tony Kushner.
Okay.
And that's because I think he's becoming a screenwriter, and
right.
he hasn't written plays recently.
That's very true.
16, Paula Vogel. 15, Tracy
Letts.
Me too. Was 16?
Me too.
Was 16 Paula Vogel?
Vogel and Tracy Letts. Yeah.
Oh, both right on. Same, yeah. Yeah. They're 16, like, 15. They're right there. They're like on top. 14 is Ibsen. I let go of Peer Gynt and Hedda and Doll's House just like blew me away rereading them and really rediscovering them. Next up is Sam Shepard. Again, on another day, he would have been higher.
Okay. Wow.
And I don't know if he's fading a little bit or, you know, he's we're waiting for him to come back in kind of a new way.
Sure.
We'll see. Number 12 was Lynn Nottage. She dropped because of the Michael Jackson thing, and I'm not going to lie about it. Intimate Apparel is probably one of my favorite plays that we've read as part of this series.
I was harsher on her for her digressions.
Right.
Clydes.
Huh?
You didn't like Clydes.
Clydes and discretions. My brain's broken. The Michael Jackson thing too.
So she's number 12, and then number 11. Oof, was Stephen Sondheim. He was kind of my honorable mention for my top 10 because you can't deny the influence there. I give it and I like it. It's maybe because Stephen Sondheim fans drive me nuts.
Yeah.
Just saying it, listeners. I love you. I love you. And I love your love of Stephen Sondheim, but sometimes you can get in my face about it. So there we go. So there we go. That's 36 through 11 for me. Siege?
Wow. My bottom five bitches, and they're not really in any particular order, but Norman, Andrew Lloyd Webber, McNally, Rodgers and Hammerstein, and Larson.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then 15 through 11 for me. 15 is Pinter. 14 is Miller. 13 is Huang. 12 is Hansberry. And 11 is Yasmina Reza. And my especially for my top, actually more like my top 15, I thought about it and I changed something a little bit. Some of it is like selfishly, like I would love to be in some of their works or they've written parts that I give a shit about.
Yeah.
But also I've been thinking about, just by virtue of doing this podcast, I've had so many more conversations with people about playwrights. And my top 15, particularly my top 10, are the top 10 playwrights I am constantly telling people that they should check out.
Interesting.
So that's kind of a new little element I threw in this time around.
Word. Absolutely. Fuck. Are we about to do our top 10?
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
We're about to do our top 10. Hey, you know what? You know what you love doing, buddy?
What?
Insert stinger here. We got to do a hat trick on the stingers.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we did it. Fucking
top 10. All right.
Rule of three. I'm sad. I'm worried about this. I'm worried that I'm going to make the others jealous.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Who wants to start?
I'll start since I started the round. Okay. Should we do a round for our top 10 or
I think we go around. Yeah.
Okay. Number 10. Martin McDonagh.
All right.
I am including his films, and I think same with Tony, which is why Tony ended up at 12 for me. But you're correct. He's less of a playwright now, Kushner. But yeah, Martin McDonagh, number 10. Okay. Scott.
My number 10 is Brandon Jacobs Jenkins.
He was my 11.
I'm really excited for his next fucking play. I really am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Siege.
So Euripides for
Euripides.
Oh, nice.
Euripides.
Right. That's a high rank.
She likes the Greeks, if you know what I mean. Hey.
Well,
I don't know what I mean.
I do like Greece. I've been there. It's nice.
Oh, cool. It's nice.
Sounds great. I've never been. Okay. Number 9.
Uh-huh.
These plays have lived with me so much more than I ever thought they would. I read them in school and was like, yeah, great. This guy's great. Rereading them, I can't stop thinking about Bald Soprano, Eugene Ionesco.
Mm-hmm.
I love The Rhinoceros so much.
Mm-hmm.
I loved The Lesson. I loved whatever else we read. I don't even remember, but I loved it so much. It was such a great revisit. Number nine, Scott.
My number 9 is Martin McDonagh.
Oi!
Yeah.
Is my number 10?
So we just switched yeah. those two. But I just... He just hit my buttons, and I think reading them, I'd read Pillow Man before we'd done this year, but I hadn't read a lot of the other stuff. And seeing Banshees and then reading those three plays and how distinct they were, but how gripping they were. And I think also CJ's criteria was also a big factor. There's a lot of Martin McDonagh characters I want to play. So, Siege.
Harold Churchill, number 9.
9. Okay, right on.
Yeah. Well, that's actually something we need to consider, is that she can't write our scripts anymore. So who's going to be writing it next season? We need to decide by the end of this episode. I'm just saying
okay.
that out loud.
Okay. It might be because of political stuff.
We just need a new playwright
for next season.
No, we just need a new playwright. I'm just saying that she doesn't want to anymore.
I think it should be Harold Pinter. That'd be a nice, boring podcast.
She's been, historically quite pro-Palestinian, so.
Which we stan, but she's just, a little bit tired of us, I think, at this point.
Yeah, no, agreed.
She's done a season and a half.
Maybe it's Martin McDonagh. We'll talk.
Maybe it's Martin McDonagh. We have to get really fucked up on this pod. Okay, what are we on? Number 8? Okay, do we need to go quicker? Is anybody in a hurry?
No.
Are we
good?
Are we cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 8 for me, Errol Pinter.
Right.
I love him.
I love him.
Pinter. I'll always love Pinter. I had a weird Pinter phase. Like, I'll always love Pinter.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott?
My number 8 is Carol Churchill.
Hey.
I think you can't deny the body and range of work. You know, we talked about Martin McDonagh kind of doing his lane and all that. And Carol Churchill was like, there are no lanes. And stylistically, thematically, she's tackled so much.
Right.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yes.
My 8 is Tracy Letts.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Tracy Letts has stuck with me since I saw his first play when I was in college. I love that shit.
Yeah.
You're a lot cooler than me because you had the guts to do it.
Here's the thing.
Tracy Letts wrote one of my favorite plays of all time, August Osage County. He's Letts. And Killer Joe is a show that I did in college that I'll never forget. Like, I love him. But somehow I don't know what I was thinking. I put him at number 15.
Any other given day, Ionesco would have been higher on my list. Sam Shepard would have been higher on my list. Like, it was just where I was at and how I was judging shit. Yeah.
It's fine. I'm mad at myself, but it's fine. CJ, you're awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You had the guts. You had the guts. Okay. Number 7. I'm pretty sure I ranked her as my number 1 last year when we did this ranking.
Mm.
And I have since thought on it, and I really do love her, but you're just so right, Scott. It's like there would have been 20 more or more that would have been so much, like, would have changed the world somehow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Kane.
Mm.
I love her. I just love her. The way I found her, I know y'all kind of had similar things with her, but like the way I found her was really special, and the way that I've always been able to engage with her, and the fact that all three of us really enjoyed reading it, even though it is so tough as material. I just love her so much, and I appreciated that we got to honor her in that way.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Scott.
My number 7 is Harold Pinter.
Pinter.
Peter. Maybe he's our guy.
Maybe he might have to.
Maybe a podcast to listen to.
No, he just writes. He just writes the episode, and he writes the episode.
It's always backwards, weirdly.
Yeah, right. But those plays are just, you know, I think that there's an element of the originality of shit that's like, oh, this is what was going on around me and fuck that and do it that way I really dig.
What's your favorite Pinter, y'all? I just want to know.
The Homecoming it fucking gets under my skin.
Yeah.
It really does.
Siege.
I'll never forget the production of The Birthday Party I saw on the West End with Jackie Atkins. And like, yeah, it was almost 20 years ago and it still sticks in my brain.
Yeah. My favorite is probably The Caretaker, but we didn't cover that one.
No,
but
I haven't read that in a long time.
I love it. The Collection is also really interesting, but The Caretaker.
Someone in LA
favorite.
Was just doing The Dumbwaiter.
Yeah. I can't
remember who that was.
That's right. Who?
I just remember seeing billboards for it all, like in a certain part, probably on the West Side.
Okay.
Oh, Seven, Martin McDonagh.
We all had him in our top 10, yeah?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, that's great.
I was shocked. He's great.
Yeah.
He rules. Number 6. This is where I put Stevie Sondheim. Assassins is my favorite musical.
I can't not put him here.
Just he's one of my dudes. That's another thing, is like, he's like I don't mean my, like, no one else can have him. I just mean like, he's one of the guys that I've always enjoyed his work, even his work that I don't love, like Company. I still appreciate and understand why people love it. But yeah, Stevie. 5? No, I'm sorry. Scott, 6?
My number 6 is Tom Stoppard. I just felt I was challenged by him. I love a playwright that's smarter than me. And, you know, people, RNG might be overplayed, but there, again, he kind of blew shit up in a way that hadn't been done before.
Yeah.
And I just think he's fucking...
I have a Tom Stoppard tattoo. I love him to death. He fucking rules. Yeah. All right, Siege.
6, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins.
Nice. BJJ?
Love him.
What's your favorite BJJ? Gloria?
I just had such an experience reading Gloria, sitting at the car wash waiting for my boss's Audi to get detailed and just sitting there surrounded by people. And at the end of that act one being like, I had no idea it was coming. And then I've seen
the belly button doctor because his Audi was getting cleaned.
Jesus. So then I've seen Octoroon and I saw Everybody and they were both just really fucking cool. And I love his shit.
Yeah. Number 5. Our top 5, y'all. This is a big deal.
Top 5. Here's good.
My top 5 is, number 5 is Samuel Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever have a son, I will likely name him Beckett.
It's a good name.
Or Ronan Beckett maybe is kind of cool.
It's a good
Beckett.
Name.
I love his work. I love his plays. I think he's maybe one of... I think he is the great existentialist playwright. I think he is the great absurdist playwright. The others are maybe a little more personal to me, but I do really love him. He's number 5 for me. Siege? I mean, Scott?
My number 5 is Sarah Kane. Like,
Sarah. I should have put her higher. Again, y'all have more balls than I do, and it's fine.
No, it's, you know, I...
You have 4 and 5, and I have 1.
You know, what she left us with was so visceral. I don't know. I don't think that any of our other playwrights hit me on a pure visceral level the way that she did. And then the way that you can peel that flower and the petals and the depth and the pain. You know, we've talked about it many times, but I think it's just one of the great losses of modern theater, that we lost her as early as we did.
Fuck. Should I have put her higher?
No, don't.
I love her
question,
so much.
We'll do it next year, and you can think it out.
And I'll put her first. Yeah, right. Siege. I mean, yeah, Siege.
My five is Susan Lori Parks.
Yes.
Nice.
L.
Nice.
P.
Yeah.
A career we haven't seen the end of, but that still feels so full and sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. 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 Number four for me is Steve Rogers himself, Sam Shepard. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yes. Captain America himself.
Captain America himself. Chris Evans himself. Sam Shepard. I think it's also kind of personal because I love him as a like a human, as an entity. I loved him.
I loved swagger.
Him in every movie. Yeah. Every movie he was in, and just like I'm a big Sam Shepard fan, and I want to perform his shit. And the first thing I ever directed was Cowboy Mouth, so I just it's a personal thing.
Yeah. Personal I love shit. Your story about that.
Oh God, it's the fucking worst. Okay.
He and Ionesco were the two that I was like, oh,
it's tough. That's well, yeah, like Stoppard for me is like really low, even though I'm like obviously Stoppard, but like he just didn't. I don't know. Right, it's tough. Right. Okay, go ahead.
What number are we on?
I don't fucking know. Four?
Yeah.
Four.
Shepard was your number four, Bailey, yeah, correct? Yeah. Okay, yeah, my bad. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, lost track. Number four for me, and this could change on with this blowing of the wind, Susan Laurie Parks. Yeah. I think top dog, underdog in terms of a contemporary play examining a very difficult subject, race, family, brotherhood, the challenges of being a black man in America today, and that the resolution isn't clear. That I think that she's challenging us to say that we don't know how to talk about race yet as a country. That play alone, I enjoyed her other works as well, but that play alone hoisted her up, and she's one of the ones that I'm super, super stoked about. What's next?
Agreed. Siege?
Four for me is Sam Shepard. I've said it on this podcast a couple times, and I'll say it again. American prophet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of a prophet.
A soothsayer, if you
will.
Yeah. Oh, God, he's so good. Did I tell y'all I bought a signed copy of Patti Smith's Just Kids?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was really expensive.
It was very expensive.
It wasn't that expensive. Okay. Here we go. Number three.
Is it Pinter?
Pinta. Number three is undeniable. And these top three I could honestly put as number one and be like, great, and feel happy about it. So number three is undeniable. August Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
He, I think Jim of the Ocean is a perfect play. I've said it on this podcast before. Fences is one of our great American masterpieces, and the entire cycle, really.
Mm-hmm.
And Ma Rainey was such a fun discovery, and then to watch the movie, I think post the passing of Chadwick, didn't we see that after? Or
we did, yeah, yes. But I don't know if it was released before or after his passing. I can't remember.
It was really close.
It was smack dab in the middle of quarantine. But I remember that.
Just really, he's powerful, and I know. I mean, he could again. He could be number one, and I'd be like, yep. And feel great about it. This is just sort of a more trying to be as personal as possible. Yeah, number three, August Wilson. Scott?
My number three is Anton Chekhov. I know.
He rules.
I think he's back in the zeitgeist. Life Sucks was just a huge hit in Hollywood and is a riff on Vanya. Right. Pasadena recently did Uncle Vanya.
South Pasadena Theater Workshop did that rep of Cherry Orchard and
Cherry
Seagull.
Orchard, yes.
With Keela Packett was in both, who was friend of the pod and past and future guest. And he was on our David Henry Hwang and Rodgers and Hammerstein episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was phenomenal, but their Seagull was really, or excuse me, it wasn't the Seagull. Yes, it was. Yes, it was the Seagull. The Seagull was really phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it a lot.
Yeah.
And the Seagull is like probably in my top three plays.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. He was just endurance, influence, and challenges me every time I pick up or go see one. Yeah. So I just where he came in this year. Yeah.
Yeah. Sage.
Wait, did Scott go? Oh yeah, Scott went. Sorry, three. Paula Vogel.
PV.
Yeah.
Where was Paula Vogel for you, Scott? Because I wanted her higher than I had her. I had her.
Yeah.
At 16.
Paula, let me double check here. She was 16. We both.
Oh,
had
that's
her
right.
16,
we had the same. Yeah. And I wanted her higher. Again, there was like certain people, and we'll go through it maybe a little bit, but like there were just certain people that I really wished I could have put higher, and I didn't, and she was one of them for sure. Because Paula fucking Vogel, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Did y'all see Indecent?
No, I didn't. No. I got invited to it and I couldn't go the night I was invited when it was here in LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just couldn't make it to it, but I heard it was awesome.
Yeah. Also, How I Learned to Drive is fucking masterpiece. Okay. Number two.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is SLP. So Susan Lori Parks.
Nice.
I knew she'd be up there for you, Paige.
I just love her. Yeah. I love her. I think Venus is... I never stop thinking about Venus. Oh, I think Venus is so good. Every play we read of hers was phenomenal. And I you're right, Scott. Like, there's going to be more. And that even excites me more and makes me like her more. And I'm like, because there's more. There's more to come.
More to come.
And she's not writing Michael Jackson musicals. Okay, so... okay, number... two for you, Scott.
Number two for me is August Wilson. I think he is unquestionably the great American playwright now, surpassing O'Neill and Miller and Williams. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that, as I was doing this, and he was pretty instantly up there high for me. And I think I said this when we did the episodes, when we did the series on him, the pleasure of reading him.
Yeah.
Unlike most of playwrights, there's a pleasure in just simply reading it on the page and it's all there. And he left us with a perfect body of work. That cycle is one of the great accomplishments in literature, never mind American literature or dramatic literature alone. So, I just think he's fucking balls.
Fucking balls. Okay, Siege 2.
My number two is Lynn Nottage. I know y'all have issues with Clydes and the Michael Jackson musical. I get it, but
I don't know anything about the Michael Jackson musical, to be clear. It's just
I know, but it's Michael Jackson as a person is a hard,
difficult thing.
It's a difficult thing, and I get it on both sides. I have literally been buying and sending Lynn Nottage scripts to people where I'm like, you have to read this. You have to check this out. So,
Yeah. Intimate Apparel, I think, is one of the great plays.
Yeah, it's one of the great plays. One of my favorites that we've read it all of the seasons.
I love it so much. I think Ruined is phenomenal as well.
Mm-hmm.
What was the third thing we read?
Sweat, which I really like Sweat too. So
Sweat, if I hadn't seen that original production, I don't know that I maybe would love it as much as most people, or as I think I would maybe not like it as much like most people are. Like, most people don't love Sweat.
I really like
love Sweat.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
But again, Clydes was so rough for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it with friend of the pod Casper, and we both walked out and we talked about it for like an hour, and I just like went home like, oh no, Lynn, have you lost it? And that made me really sad. But I also think like I shouldn't dismiss the things that are masterpieces that she has made. But I still don't know that she would make my top 10 just because of this.
She was my number 12, and I dig it, you know.
Where is she on my list? I can't even find her. 25. Damn. I should have put her higher.
Yeah, for me, Sweat is because I saw that horrible production in town and it just wasn't great.
Yeah, that's
and
sucks.
Then I think time has affected a little bit more, but Intimate Apparel and Ruined,
but
just...
as a period piece, I really like it. I
sure, yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm don't mean to disparage.
I like Sweat a lot. Maybe I'll move her higher. Okay,
next year.
I'm like talking myself out of my whole ranking now. Okay, number one.
Oh shit.
Who have I not named? Do you guys know?
No, I no, my brain's spinning too
is
much.
Stoppard?
No, my number one. No, I had Stoppard at 17, very low. Carol Churchill.
Mm. Oh shit! Shit! All right.
I never stop thinking about Carol Churchill plays.
Yeah.
Far Away, specifically, The Skryker.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
one
Skryker
that we didn't even cover, but that CJ read randomly and told us to read, which was Pigs and Dogs.
Pigs and Dogs. Yeah. That one
blew
stuck
my
with
mind
me too.
Open.
Yeah.
There were just like, there were a bunch. And I just purchased a copy and I'm excited to read her 2009 play, Seven Jewish Children, A Play for Gaza, which is supposed to be...
harrowing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm trying to like engage with some of her other stuff, and she has a lot of pro-Palestine anti-colonialism shit that she's written that has gotten her in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
In a lot of different places. And I think she right now is a very important artist, and mm-hmm. I think she is I directed Far Away in college and Rachel Bertram was actually in it and was phenomenal. And I just am very in love with her and her body of work. And I say farewell to her as our writer of this podcast. I love you so much, Carol. Scott, number one.
My number one is Samuel Beckett.
Sammy B.
If he had only ever written Godot, that would have been enough.
Yeah.
Like, it still would have been there.
Yeah.
I will hold, and time will prove me correct, that all of these other playwrights will fade, and in 500 years, people will still be doing Godot, and it will still make absolute and total sense.
Yeah.
It's a timeless, perfect thing for me. So,
yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Liking some bags. And I love all of his other shit, too. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Endgame, Happy Days.
You know, and the influence that he had, like that, you know, he was like a pebble in the pond, just the ripples through American theater in the middle of the 20th century. So.
Yeah.
Siege.
My number one is August Wilson.
Nah.
He has been the only playwright that we've covered that I read the works that we read for that, and then I went back and read every single one of his plays.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And just another person that I tell people, like, Scott said it, like, it's a joy to read. It's beautiful writing. It's not a slog. Like, some of the plays we've read have been, so.
Yeah, it's interesting, and he makes me think about that. You know, there's some playwrights that will talk to you as the reader when they're writing their stage directions or whatever, and their winks and nods and all that. And he doesn't. His stage directions are immaculate, but they paint they're poetic and they paint a perfect picture, you know. It's like, and I just don't know of anyone else, I mean, not even Shakespeare, that where you just read the whole thing and you know, connect to it on a human level. And when we did the show, we talked about there's nothing really in August Wilson for me, you know. I'm not going to direct any August Wilson, and I'm not going to act in any August Wilson. And the fact that the humanity of it and the specificity of it and the beauty of it and his language and his ear. Oh, man. Plus, he's a Pittsburgh guy. So, yeah, that's cool, too.
We did it.
This is the end of our...
This is the end.
This is the end.
That's a good curtain call, y'all.
Yeah.
This is a good curtain call. I feel bad that I can't rank them all number one.
No, I mean, that's the bitch. I mean, just being angry at myself for, you know, not putting Shepherd in my top 10. Yeah. Like, you know, like, fuck, not putting Ionesco in my top 10. But, yeah. It was a good year. We should say that, you know, we changed our format a little bit this year.
Yeah.
Because somebody had a baby.
I have a pitch for next year.
Oh, great. Right.
That's an even bigger switch.
Okay. Well, all right.
Can I pitch it now or should we wait till we're off mic?
We should.
Whatever you want, bitch.
Wait. Yeah, let's wait.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll talk. Okay. Because we need to talk about my contract. You guys signed the 5-year contract, but Scotty only signed the 4-year. So I need a 10% increase, which you should be able to match because 10% of nothing is nothing. So
no. We'll be fine. I think we can make it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is our change jar here. I can pay you out of that.
Our Patreon is up to 77 cents.
That's right.
Which isn't divisible by 3.
Over 5 years. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm proud of us. That was good work, y'all.
Yeah.
Putting the list together and also just getting through the year. And just thank you to both of you for your patience and in our scheduling, shuffling, and last minutes, you know.
I
can't do it. Can we do it Friday?
Yeah.
Friday at 3.
We worked it out.
Yeah, no, we always worked it out. We're coming back next week and we close out the season with our Shakespeare, which is our tradition. But we need to talk through those plays.
Yeah, that I was waiting until we were off mic for that.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then we'll announce.
We have to announce what we're doing. So
we're doing Shakespeare's problem plays, but our original list is problematic.
Problematic.
and, you know, we can talk about whether we want to get scholastic about it or not. You know,
Well, it seems we're definitely doing Cymbeline and Winter's Tale, yes?
Correct, yeah. I got a pitch for us off mic. Yeah.
Okay.
This is boring.
Oh, I think this is all. Okay. This is what the podcast is. I think if you don't want to listen to this, I don't know what you're.
Well, I guess it's true. I guess it's true.
Yeah. It's the end. So I was hoping to kind of like get them excited about what we're doing next year, but I don't think that's happening now. So that's fine.
Right.
But thank you for joining us for part 0 of 0. Part 79? What are we at? We're over 100 now, right?
We're over 100 episodes.
Yeah, we did our 100th episode last year.
That's right.
But yeah, so the episode numbering on the Google Drive is odd because we did it. We should have done it different from the beginning, but maybe we can do that this year.
Fucking A. Yeah. Here, I'm pulling up my podcast app. Season 4, episode 43. We did 43 episodes this season. 44? 44 was White Christmas.
Oh, right.
Right.
45 is this episode.
Yeah, 46, and then we're going to do
47, 48 will be Richard. I mean, we'll be problem plays. Shakespeare.
Yeah.
All right, well, get excited about Shakespeare. We'll announce in those episodes how we're going to handle the next season. But we love y'all and thanks for listening. And CJ?
Do y'all have questions or comments? Please reach out to us via email, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Scott?
Thank you, CJ. A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson, who writes our theme song. Our theme song is better than your theme song, so suck it.
Bitch.
And he also writes all of our stingers, and our stingers are better than your stingers, so suck it.
That's true, too.
Go fuck yourself.
And then finally to the award-winning playwright, Harold Pinter, who writes every single one of our episodes and doesn't even know it. And one day, Harold Pinter, in the afterlife, we will buy you a beer.
Right. Just trying it out. We're just trying it out. We're practicing.
It might work. He wrote this episode for sure.
He wrote this episode, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us. Subscribe, rate, review. It really does help. And we'll see you at Shakespeare Camp next week.
Shakespeare camp.
We'll probably start with
Shakespeare camp.
Huh?
probably start with Winter's Tale, I assume.
Winter's Tale is one of the latest ones. It'd be Cymbeline between the two of
probably
those.
Start with Cymbeline, I think.
Yeah, Cymbeline's my pick. I love Cymbeline.
We'll figure it out.
All right, y'all. CJ, sing us out.
You caught her off guard.
Mm-hmm. Brain dead. That's what I am lying here. I'm brain dead. Brain dead. Lifts me in his cruisy chiseled arms. Maybe later. Said I'm not. I don't know all these lyrics. If I would have known I was going to sing, I would have pulled up some lyrics. Bailey. Flash. Bang. Then a bit of a. That was a fail.
I love that.
Later, everybody.
The theater. The theater. Hang out, Louie!
Theater.